KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have a mostly cloudy sky, 74 degrees. We look for partly cloudy to cloudy skies today with scattered showers and thunderstorms and a high around 80. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. Atlantic School District Superintendent Steve Barber said last night during the meeting of the school board that the district's official enrollment count will begin October 1st. He said their most recent review of the students in the district is serving shows a small decline in both the certified enrollment and the number of open enrolled in students, with the ratio to open enrolled versus out a small increase, and those numbers are, of course, subject to change. A new district transportation director, Mark Weiss, said the new student pickup and drop-off system for the Washington and Schuller Elementary students has been going smoothly.
Our drivers are happy. So far, the public is happy. I've heard some comments from different people that have talked to different people that, why didn't we do this 20 years ago? I don't know. I wasn't here 20 years ago. But basically, it's been an improvement, I think. Stacy can tell you up there, things are a lot more pleasant up at Washington. It's also when we've made the addition down at the middle school in Schuller, putting those buses on the north side. I think James and Josh would tell you that that's going really well down there as well. So again, our drivers are happy with it. Sounds like everybody else is happy with it as well. We don't hear a lot of complaints.
Superintendent Steve Barber agreed that the improvements have made a big difference in reducing traffic congestion and student safety in that area. Tim Mitchell, the superintendent of the Riverside Community School District, reports in celebration of 25 years as a school district in the fall of 2018, Riverside had instituted a Hall of Fame to honor graduates, employees, teams, individuals, and friends of the district for their accomplishments and at or into the service of the district. The class of 2018 included Marion Kuntz, Clark Christensen, William Rich Livengood, Dr. Trevor Richardson, Dr. Corey Borthman, 1996 Riverside wrestling team, the 2001 Riverside football team, John McCowan, and Carmela Pigneri. The class of 2019 induction ceremony will be held Thursday, October 3rd at 2:30 p.m. in the Riverside Middle School High School gym in Oakland, and 2019 inductees will be featured at the homecoming parade on Friday, October 4th at 2 p.m. in Oakland. The final recognition will take place prior to the homecoming football game on Friday, October 4th at the Charles E. Pigneri Athletic Complex at 6:45 p.m. The selection committee has announced the following members of the class of 2019: Nicole Allen Osborne as Distinguished Graduate, Riverside Class of 94; Donnell Hotze Caval, Distinguished Graduate, Riverside Class of 96; John W. Hamilton as Friend of Riverside; Marilyn Mickey, Distinguished Graduate, Carson Macedonia Class of 1964, Friend of Riverside, Riverside Board Member and Riverside Employee; and 1973-1974 Carson Macedonia Football Team, Team Group Coaches Larry Wax and Terry Staten. You can read more about their individual accomplishments in the same story on the news page at KJAN.com. Iowa schools are introducing a new physical education standards this school year that provide teachers with a framework to strengthen instruction from kindergarten through 12th grade. Stacy Freeland with the American Heart Association of Iowa says the association was on the team that made the recommendations. She notes that Iowa has the 10th highest obesity rate for youth ages 10 to 17, and that it's likely because screen time by kids is creeping up from phones to social media to online gaming, making the new health and physical education guidelines more important than ever.
Physical education classes are classes, and they have curriculum just like science and math classes do. You can't just go out and play dodgeball for an hour. It gets into mental health even, and how to adapt PE to kids that might have challenges.
The American Health Association recommends parents and kids adopt the daily 5-2-1 rule. 5-2-1-0 rule. That's 5 fruits and vegetables per day, 2 hours of screen time, 1 hour of exercise, and 0 sugar sweetened beverages. Iowa's new health and physical education standards, which are optional for schools, outline what a student should know and be able to do at each grade level. Freeland says, like adults, kids who exercise report reduced anxiety, better sleep, and improved blood sugar control. She notes also that there are some long-term cognitive benefits.
Kids' health is so important that it shouldn't be something that we forget and make last on the list, especially when you look at how physical activity and physical education can really impact like kids' brains and their test scores and how they're doing in some of their other classwork.
The American Heart Association's Kids Heart Challenge teaches elementary students the importance of keeping their heart healthy by participating in basketball, dance, obstacle course activity, and jumping rope. Funds raised through the program support scientific research and outreach programs. A small Iowa school district is scrambling to cover a nearly $900,000 loss after officials failed to account for a big property tax break given to Facebook for its massive data center east of Des Moines. The Des Moines Register reports that Facebook's fourth data center in Altoona is exempt from taxation for 20 years as part of a development agreement that Facebook signed with the city. Exemptions also were granted for the first three data centers, but the Polk County Assessor's Office says it was never notified about the exemption and included the $52.4 million building in the tax base numbers provided in 2018 to the Bondurant Farrar School District and other taxing authorities. The error was caught this year. Now the district must pay back the erroneous windfall, which officials say amounts to about 3.5% of the district's budget. The Madison County Board of Supervisors this week scaled back the duration of its proposed moratorium on new wind turbines. The board voted to end the moratorium on October 1st of next year rather than January 1st of 2022. Adam Jablonski of MidAmerican Energy was among those who testified at a public hearing in Winterset earlier this week. He argued the 27-month-long moratorium was excessive.
Consider those people who do want wind projects in the county.
He said also that
MidAmerican would not be able to develop wind projects if people did not want them. Wind turbines have been operating in Iowa for over 20 years, and we still have people signing up for them, all voluntary. And we would not be able to build any projects, you know, if the landowners in those areas we're looking for did not voluntarily sign up for wind projects. So just please consider them as you consider this moratorium.
Others who testified at the hearing complained about the engine noise of the turbines. Bev Anderson of St. Charles raised concerns about the cropland that's taken out of production by turbines in rural areas.
This land is adding up to more and more acres. Farmers need that land to plant.
Mary Jobst of Earlham circulated a petition in favor of the moratorium.
I was stunned by the number of people who believe these turbines are too close and don't want them and most willingly sign the petition. The majority of people living in the footprint of the proposed 52 turbines do not want them.
And that includes Jobst and her husband, who signed a lease to host a turbine, and she asked the Board of Supervisors in Madison County to put a halt to the wind farm project. Bonnie Haugen of Winterset defended wind development. She told the supervisors her husband, father, brother-in-law, and cousin all have jobs in the wind industry.
And my nephew just took a job custom welding on turbines in Iowa. I just want to be the personal face of the 10,000 rural Americans who are working in wind.
More than 100 people attended the public hearing in Winterset. Some who testified said the controversy over wind turbines has ended friendships and created rifts in families. Elsewhere in the news, police in Creston report a man was arrested early this morning. 54-year-old Craig Hauser, whose city of residence was not available at the time of the report, was taken into custody at around 1:30 a.m. Hauser was being held at the Union County Jail on a $300 bond. The Harlan Police Department reports two recent arrests. On Sunday, 47-year-old Jody K. Bales of Audubon was arrested following a traffic stop. She was transported to the Shelby County Jail, where she was charged with operating while intoxicated, child endangerment, permitting unauthorized person to drive, operating a non-registered vehicle, and for open container. And on August 30th, 29-year-old Cameron Stewart Cunningham of Harlan was arrested following a call for service. Cunningham was transported to the Shelby County Jail, where he was charged with public intoxication and supplying alcohol to a minor. The Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Office said yesterday that there were three arrests that had taken place on Tuesday. At around 8:30 p.m., dispatch advised deputies of a disturbance at a residence on North Pine Street in Avoca. Deputies made contact with 32-year-old Blake Ashley Behrens, who was taken into custody for interference with official acts. At around the same time, a Macedonia man was arrested in Oakland following a reported incident of alleged domestic abuse. 37-year-old Jacob Lee Roberson was arrested for domestic abuse assault, contempt of court, and failure to appear on a citation. His bond was set at $300. And 34-year-old Ashley Nicole Rubio of Council Bluffs was arrested in Council Bluffs at around 9:55 p.m. Tuesday for violation of a no-contact or protective order, contempt of court. The Page County Sheriff's Office yesterday reports a traffic stop Tuesday in Clarinda resulted in the arrest of the driver of the vehicle. 71-year-old Nina Louise Moore of Clarinda was arrested for driving under suspension. She was transported to the Page County Jail and held on a $566 bond. The Mills County Sheriff's Office said yesterday that four people have been arrested on separate charges Tuesday. The sheriff's office says 36-year-old Michael Wayne Schnepp of Council Bluffs was arrested for driving while barred and failure to provide proof of insurance. 57-year-old David Lloyd Ritchie of Glenwood and 48-year-old Brian John Beebe of Carson were arrested Tuesday on warrants for violation of probation. And 35-year-old James Dean Borman of Shenandoah was arrested at the Page County Jail on a warrant for theft in the fourth degree. The sheriff's officials in Union County said yesterday that a man from Afton had reported Sunday that sometime between Saturday afternoon and Sunday afternoon, someone stole his 2014 red and white Honda CRF250L motorcycle from his residence. The loss was estimated at $4,000. That's a check of the news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.